Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of The Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we just completed our section on the Yahud, and we now will be crossing over to Brother Ahmad Parak, Hafizahullah, for the program Straight Talk, the program where we discuss any new developments related to kafan and dafan and our local politics. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with another fine day in the middle 10 days of our Ramadan, Mawlana.
Now, to start with, are there any new developments related to kafan and dafan?
Jee, Mawlana, I had a meeting with Mr. Perma, who is the head of X-rays at the Ahmad Al Khadi Hospital, regarding our ongoing issue to bring in the X-ray machine where we do not want to do postmortems. So we had a nice lengthy meeting pertaining to this. So now we are only waiting now for Justice Department and National, where we are doing our submission, where they will be able to amend the law so that we'll be able to. But alhamdulillah, with the meeting I had, we are ready. He's got few machines that is not being used. He will be able to do a trial for us as a prototype or a sampling on these machines, how we can overcome the post-mortem where we need to open the bodies and then do the full post-mortems, inshallah. We you know, it's for the last 3 years, you know, Allah gave me strength to do this work, and I want to see it through before Allah takes me from dunya, to make sure that this X-ray way can be put into South Africa, as well as it will make it easier for our, you know, our deceased, instead of having the family having the trauma of the body's been cut, the skull has been opened up, the rib cage has been opened up. So this is what we are trying, and I'm trying very, very hard to get this thing up and running, inshallah.
Inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla, give you success in this. Now, coming to local politics, something that you are quite aware of, your party is quite involved in, the business with SARS. SARS collects more than 90% of government revenue, yet it remains chronically underfunded. Now, can you, you know, just explain to us, what is the reason for SARS remaining chronically underfunded?
Mawlana, when it comes to national government, you know, they are at the moment, if they're owing like three trillion rands, we technically insolvent. If you take our city, and I was sitting in the AMPAC meeting on Thursday, we have only got now monies for 28 days. Now, that's how bad it is. So what they are doing, especially with SARS, and SARS should have been a department that is, you know, when you're collecting 90% of your revenue from the taxpayers, I mean, from all the departments in government, it's the only department that is fully fledged and fully organized when it comes to collection in terms of the rules, the objections, the way they do this thing, because they've got a top leader who understand runs and sends, and he's doing a marvelous job when it comes to, especially the, obviously there's perks for him as well, you know, for collecting, they get an incentive for collecting the funds from the taxpayer. You'll see when it comes to the demands in time, they put the demands in, and immediately after the your submission is not in time, the penalty starts kicking in. So they have got a fully fledged department. But that is the biggest problem with government is and National Treasury, why they don't need to fund them more, so they will be able to bring it up to 100%. And in fact, they will be able to bring in more revenue if it's properly funded. That's where our biggest problem. You know, my party has already tried very hard because one of our MEC is, member of parliament, has raised it. He's a CA chartered accountant and he knows rhymes and cents. So he is taking it full on and we want to see that they get the funding proper so that we can come back to where we can be able to get more funding into the coffers of the SARS.
Now, coming to the water problem, this thing is something that's going on and on, but from what, you know, has been brought to light in the last week through our different news medium, that the Itikweni or Durban launches massive water infrastructure upgrade to tackle billions in losses. The Itikweni Water and Sanitation EWS unit laid 12,545 kilometers of new pipelines on Cardinal Road in Phoenix. The Itikweni Water and Sanitation EWS, we mentioned that. Now, according to DWS, some of the root causes of the problem, this problem of water shortage, the demand for treated water in Itikweni is exceeding the available supply. Itikweni has grown rapidly, largely due to population growth and leaks in the municipality's water distribution system. This results in a situation where the reservoirs become depleted because water is being drawn out from them faster than these reservoirs can be filled. The backlog of water leaks requiring repairs has been significantly reduced. The city is working hard to reduce non-revenue water. The city will consider implementing formal water use restrictions through bylaws. Now, some of the questions that arise from this, you know, regarding the reservoir emptying out before filling up, you know, isn't there any technology that they could, put in so that the reservoir can fill up as quick, you know, the emptying and the filling up of the reservoir happens at the same pace?
Mulana, firstly, they had a La Quatla in the Midlands and they spent millions of rand for 2 days seminar. They had these information you have just read out now has been coming from the Quatla. Now, one most importantly is to, you know, putting all these numbers is very, very easy. They're going to do A, B, C, D, E, F. They can do all that. But if they don't have the capacity and if they don't have the funding, how are you going to do all this? That's number one. Secondly, the question you pose that from the reservoir, I mean, from Tugela to our reservoirs, today is very, very easy. You know, we got in the masjid, and when I was in my clothing business in Ambilo, we had an underground parking. So when the rain used to come, it used to fill up. And eventually the guys came from Pinetown, the German company. They came and installed pumps there so that water, as soon as the water level goes up, that it gives you on your cell phone. It tells you your water level is going up, and if you know it, it will say the emergency pump tool, it triggers in, and your water is being pumped out, and there's an alarm as well. So everything is you know, pneumatic today is very, very easy. In our masjid, Masjid too, we have the similar issue, similar pump, because we got under basement, and we got pumps in the basement. So these things are very, very easy. Everything can be monitored. But the will and the capacity from the engineers and the city to get all these things sorted out is a problem. And I've been speaking to one or two engineers on Thursday when we were having our meeting, because we interviewed these engineers from various departments, and they're telling us, you know what, we can't do anything. We are engineers. We bring the problem to the table. We tell them this is the best and the easiest way to go and sort this problem up. If there is no money, if every year they said they cut in water. When you need water the most, they went and cut 162 million from the budget. Now, how are you going to get? Now, they are talking about they're going to upgrade year 2.8 million to 1.2 billion, sudden aqueduct. All that is fine. If things are happening, there is no doubt about it, because I go on and we do a site visit, that the work is taking place. But the work, it cannot be completed because the suppliers are not even getting paid in time to finish the work. And that's where you'll find a lot of litigations are coming against the city in the Supreme Court, I mean the High Court, in Magistrate Court, for payment not being paid to the suppliers. That is our problem. Is the will and the capacity, that's where we're running short. They've got the infrastructure to do things, but if they haven't got the right people and the will to finish it, that's where we're coming short. But there is work taking place. There is no doubt about it. But if anyone tells you they can sort this water issue in the next year or 2030, it's not going to happen. It's going to only happen in 2032, because they have already started laying. Phoenix, they're going to be putting the new plastic pipes and all that. So they have earmarked all this. And they're trying to cut every department to get the water and the leakage. The biggest problem is when you're losing 54.5% of the water revenue from water, it is a big problem. So how are you? You one side you want to fix, and one side you got leaks. So my suggestion in the meeting was also, you need a fully fledged team. Increase your team by fixing first where the leaks are. Sort that out and then start laying, because that way you will reduce your leakage, and then that fresh water has been going down the drain. That is the biggest problem we are faced with, Molana.
So something else that's mentioned is the backlog of water leaks requiring repairs has been significantly reduced. The city is working hard to reduce non-revenue water. The city will consider implementing formal water use restrictions through bylaws. So I suppose, you know, if one has to ask, any idea what was the cause of the backlog of repairs? The answer is simple, that there's either a shortage of funds or a shortage of, qualified workmen. Would that be the correct answer for that?
Molana, firstly, you are 100% correct. Funding is a big problem in our city. When you got in our city, and this is an authentic figure that I picked up on Thursday, is 4.2 million people only in our city in 111 wards. That's a massive number of people that we are in the city. You know, as I said previously, 1 liter, you can only fill 1 liter. Water in it, you can't fill 1.2 liters in that thing. It's impossible. So that's where our biggest problem is. We are, the growth has overtaken. Now, when you have a growth in the last 30 years, obviously every country, any business, they will have a plan for growth and all. Yeah, there was, you know, it boils down to poor planning in the city. the most important aspect of this whole water scenario is, you know, when we had previously our own department with our own vehicles or with our own plumbers, we were getting the work done. Now, because of greed, it is for them to bring contract workers and give them the tender because they get fee right and all that. That's where the big problem is. So if you get a contract for 3 years, you set now where the work is going to be for 100 rand, now you're charging 1,000 rand. I'll give you one scenario. You know, last year sometime we had an issue in Musgrave area. Now the pipe burst at about just after 6. The plumbers came there. They just closed the valve. They had to close 3 valves. They closed it. They waited now 6 to 2 shift. They waited. Now they're waiting for a TLD. Then 2 o'clock, another shift came. 2 to 6 shift. Did absolutely nothing, Molana. They're parking there. They're catching their chow there. And nothing happened. He clocked in there. He put his documentation, got his sign. He's gone. Absolutely by not doing a thing. The 6 evening to in the morning shift came, that's the only guys they came with the TLB about after 8:30, they dug it and they sorted that pipe. Now you saw in one pipe that was burst and it had a hairline fracture where it burst and they just put a small piece. It didn't even take them, Molana, not less than 2 hours. That's how 3 contractors came. All want to get paid. Now, the rule is with them, if they don't have that the equipment, they have to wait because he's assigned to do that work. Now, why assign somebody you know you're not going to get it in the evening at 8? Take that same contractor and use him for something else. There's plenty of other leaks were happening in the city. So that's where we're losing a lot of money. Now, this is where the city, and this is where we're talking to the mayor, deputy mayor, the city manager. We need to get our act together. The act, we're not getting it together because the outsourcing is a problem. In the security, we're having the same issue. Water, electricity, roads, all that. We need to come back to the old days, in-source, where we control, we have our own destiny. We tell you, right, go to Reservoir Hills and all these potholes there, with their earmark it, their pictures with it, they have to do it. Inspector goes the next day or the next afternoon, make sure, sign it off. This is how the system's supposed to work. But when it comes to this outsourcing, because they want to make money out of this whole deal, this is where we're running short and we're getting into a tight corner with all our work. We're not going forward, we're going backwards. Every 10 meters we go front, we're going 100 meters back. That is the big problem we are faced with the city at the moment.
So are they moving towards, you know, employing their own permanent staff? Because that is how it was even in the apartheid era and things really got done.
What they did was now, Molana, because we are putting so much of pressure, they're bringing the retired engineers and all that. Now, those guys who knew exactly which pipe, where that thing, how they diverted, everything. So they started bringing those people in. In fact, I saw one of my good friends from the old days that he's consulting at the moment. So there's another bright guy, Viren, he's an engineer in the electricity department. He's there quite long and he's telling me, you know, Ahmed, my hands are tight. But end of the day, we're doing the best. And you know, when you talk to him, he'll give you straight answers. There's no two ways with him. When I posed the question, why did we have this 1 week load sharing? He gave me a straight answer. He said, we did ABC. That was the reason we had to do it to get it fixed. And he gave us that explanation was right. If we didn't do it, we should have been worse off down the line. And he's on the button when it comes to it. And people don't like him in the department there because he doesn't play around. He makes sure what he says, he honors it and he delivers.
Now, another issue that came up during the week is this solar water heater project. Now I've seen this, you know, on the way to Verulam, you see this, those RDP houses, all of them have these solar water heaters on their roofs. And I've spoken to people who have this, and they say it didn't work for very long anyway. You know, there came a time in a short space of time where those they weren't getting hot water. And quite a bit of money was spent, 324.8 million, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, just as storage costs. That's besides the bad quality. Regarding the bad quality, what is mentioned is problems with suppliers include refuse to deliver, demanding more and unreasonable money, supplied faulty systems due to poor workmanship, could not meet the contractual obligations regarding delivery. Now, when somebody reads this, the question arises, doesn't the municipality follow any process to choose suppliers and have some criteria in place?
Mulana, you see, in council and in government, when you bring a lucrative proposal, they don't do due diligence, proper due diligence. Yet they got engineers, yet we got everything. We got, in Take Our City, we got 72 attorneys. Although we got 72 attorneys, Mulana, we got, I don't know, maybe 100 and something litigation against the city. In one case, I tell you, we got, we only owed 40 million to the supplier. He went to court and he got judgment. They took it to Supreme Court of Appeal. They lost the case there. In legal fees and interest and everything, we had to pay 52 million. 52 million we paid, not million, 52 million now. We're throwing away money when in actual fact, we know we can sort this better. Sit around the table, put the whole thing together and sort the matter out. How many, I even brought it to the MPAC and told them, listen, this litigation is in history. Nobody in the business world goes to court anymore. It's too expensive. Sort it out, because end of the day we'll save money. This is where, now suppliers don't get paid, they hold back. Now that is one big issue we have. Now, a lot of cases we can't move forward because of the funding, we cannot get the work done, and now the solar issue we're talking about. Mulana, this is from 2014 he started. Now, this matter is, if you go and sue, you can do everything, you can't do absolutely nothing. You can't do it to the supplier, you can't even take him to court because it's already prescribed. That's one. Secondly, the supplier, there is always a supplier and the municipality or the government in agreement, a proper contract, what they have to supply and everything. If there is any faulty equipment or anything, or machines are not working, they have to send it back and it's got to be repaired or replaced. All these things, I see contracts every single time when I go to meetings and all, we see the contract. But nobody follows these contracts up. You know, and you know, when they give it and it's forgotten, nobody's worrying about it. You know, when you do a business, there's no follow-up, in other words. When you do a business, like you buy a car from Toyota, the consultant will phone you how the car is going, if you're happy with it. Yes. No after service in everything yet. There's nobody's following up because everything is job for pals here. That is the problem that is always stumbling the progress of the city and the government at the moment. So this issue about we spent 328 million, that it was a total failure. We knew from day one. When you know, although when I was not in government, when it started in Joburg, actually started, and then it came to our city here, it never worked because it was not the right application for what we wanted. And you must remember, geyser takes a lot of power. So you know, people, you got me, especially in the black community, you have eight in a family. Some of them, they stay in a two bedroom apartment, a two bedroom dwelling. They have so many people in it, and it can't take the capacity. And you want to pull also electricity from this. Then they want to use fridge, stove, and toasters, and all these things take. So that's where it gives up. So this is, you know, it's not made for that. It was only purely made for water and nothing else. So this, when they started connecting everything else, and this is where the problem is. And the service was very, very poor. They didn't do a proper due diligence, how the company can perform, cannot perform, can deliver. All these things, nobody does that. Because as long as if the contract is 320 million, so three, four guys are on the take there, they are taken care of, they box my uncle, and that's how they give the job.
Now, something else that is mentioned in the article regarding this solar water heaters. To mitigate problems, Kekana said the Central Energy Fund, CEF, a South African state-owned institution, has withdrawn from being the implementing agent. The CEF was responsible for the procurement of consumables, components used to finalize installation. Now, any idea why the CEF withdrew from being the implementing agent?
Munana, when they saw the rot is coming, like you saw, you know what is happening in DSW at the moment. Is, you know, I mean, 22 of them are in court. It's already days 8 or day 10 now. How much is costing the city, how much is costing the ratepayers for this litigation that is coming to court. It's the same thing. When this guy saw there's a rot coming, he said, I'd rather move away quick as possible, otherwise he's going to be implicated. Indirectly, he's implicated because he was the brainchild in putting this whole act together, this contract and everything. Now, he's in a real catch-22. He says, I'd rather remove myself before I get more implicated in this scenario here.
And something else that's mentioned there, and it's, you know, surprising also, it really brings to light that we really have some fools there. The department will now inspect consignments before delivery to ensure compliance with specifications, he said. This statement makes it very clear that prior to this problem, the department was not inspecting consignments. Most certainly, such negligence cannot be tolerated. You know, and one of the people called Muhammad Paulson, a member of the portfolio community, said committee, said it was unacceptable that nobody was taken to task for what had happened. Now, is there any plan to take those responsible for incurring unnecessary expenditure to task?
Well, to my understanding, this 328 million, it already must be written off, number one. Number two, you can't take the supplier to task anymore, because in that period, and this is where we're having a problem in our city as well, you know, we give a contract, and the implementation of that contract take maybe 2 years. And you can't hold that supplier after 2 years. Now the city, because the engineers delayed, this department delayed or that department delayed, 2 years down the line, and it came before MPEC on Thursday as well. They want that. Now the supplier is asking, he says, you know what, I gave you the written contract we signed. It was in 2020. Now you're coming the end of 2022, 23, you want me to start the work, and you want me to still do it at the same price. Everything has gone up. Labor price has gone up. Material price has gone up. Everything has, transportation, fuel has gone up. So now how do I come out? I want now, you know, I've started the work, but I can't go forward because I'm at a total loss. That is the biggest problem suppliers are having, the government, the province and the city. This is an issue. They can't, you know, you can't take 2 years to tell the same contractor to do the work. Now everything has gone up. Now when he costed at that time in 2020, when he's going to start the Pacific period, And when he's going to finish, all that was signed and sealed and signed. Now you're telling me 2 years later and you expect me to do that at the same time. He started in good faith. They start. Now they come. Then now they have to bring another contract. We have to restart the whole thing again. That's where we lose millions and millions of rands.
Anyway, Jazakumullah for your precious time this morning and for the valuable contribution. Insha'Allah, during the course of the day, we'll be sending out the podcast of this segment, Straight Talk. Once again, Jazakumullah, Khair al-Jaza, for all the efforts you are putting in to try and make life easier for the people of this municipality. We will talk, Insha'Allah, next week again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Brother Ahmad Parak, a counselor in this municipality of Durban, and we were discussing the local politics. And like the rest of the world, you know, we can see that how corruption ridden our Itikweni is.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.